Welcome to Who's Talking. This is DG Martin. Josh Bryan's a recent MBA graduate over at UNC's Kenan Flagler Business School, and he's back in town to talk to a class about his new business and the Kickstarter financing that made it possible and the Hero Me specialty toy making enterprise that he and his wife, Annie, have made come to life. And Josh Bryan, welcome.
Thank you so much, DG, for having us. This is wonderful.
I think, in all fairness, I have to explain that you are my daughter's brother-in-law.
That's right.
And we cherish our connection with your family. But it's not because of the family connections that I wanted you to visit with us here in Chapel Hill, but to give us a little bit of insight on sort of what graduates of our graduate schools and our undergraduates are doing in business.
Yeah.
And you've got a special story to tell, don't you?
Absolutely. It's been a wonderful process. I got to do, you know, I did my business degree here at UNC, and it was really, they did a wonderful job of allowing us to test out ideas. And that's actually the class that I'm speaking at tomorrow.
What's the class called?
It's called Launch the Venture. And it's a year-long class where students, and both in the business school but also outside the business school. So it could be someone in the biology department or in the chemistry department or someone undergrads as well. If they have an idea, it's really the best way I've seen to really test that idea.
How does it work?
Validate that idea. When I was there, at least, the first quarter is basically a bunch of teams of people that have ideas, and they get to test that idea. They present to classes and to coaches and to people in the community that have started businesses or run businesses, and they are able to test that idea, see if it works, see if there's – they test it with customers. They test it with people that have had experience in that industry.
So you have – everybody brings an idea to the class. That's important thing. And then you critique each other? Is that how it works?
A little bit. Most of the critiquing actually comes from the coaches, local business leaders, and entrepreneurs, getting their feedback from everything from sort of the business concept to the business plan to the actual pitch. And it really is a good way to hone in on what you're trying to create.
And so as you go along, you had an idea. What was your idea?
Absolutely. So I had an idea. And it actually started back in 2008 when my wife and I lived in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I was volunteering with Big Brothers Big Sisters. And my little brother, as they call him, he struggled with math. It was not his best subject. What he did with his own creativity, most importantly, is he created a little cartoon named Math Man. And Math Man was this little pencil drawing on notebook paper. But he would have these great adventures battling, I believe it was Subtraction Man and Division Man.
Oh, wait, really?
And it was really cool.
And so he made this up himself.
He made it up completely on his own. And he was a pretty good drawer, but still it was a pencil drawing on notebook paper. But Subtraction Man and Division Man would throw multiplication and division signs like ninja stars at Math Man. And just all these sort of creative elements that, as an adult, I would never have come up with. And part of that was, for me, it was realizing how creative kids are, but also it was realizing that this made him comfortable with math. He was struggling with it. He was embarrassed to talk about it in class, didn't want to answer questions in class, but this allowed him to get comfortable with it and eventually sort of face the fears and struggles he had with it. And eventually I'm not saying it's because of that, but he ended up doing a lot better in math, started getting A's and B's instead of D's and C's. And so it was this great process that I really admired in him and thought, how cool would it be if other kids could do it? So started expanding that idea. How could we allow kids to create their own superhero? And better yet, what if we could create a physical, tangible representation of that superhero? And that's what I got to test out in business school.
So how did you – if you can take yourself back to the early presentation of the idea, surely the constructive critiques that you got changed a little bit your approach. Can you
absolutely
take us on that journey from your first presentation and what you learned
originally,
along the way?
Originally, my idea was to do a store-by-store model. which seems so silly now.
Well, what is it? What is the store about?
It would basically be, I would start a retail store, say here in Chapel Hill or in Raleigh or in Durham or somewhere, and that would be the only spot where you could buy Hero Me. You'd come in and create the Hero Me, and that would – it'd be a very cool process, and you could really engage.
So how did you – did you have the idea formed at the early stages of the Hero Me figure? When you first presented it, you said, I've got the idea for a
– I had the general idea, and originally I wanted it to be – so right now the way it is that kids can choose from five heads, five superpowered arms, and five superpowered legs. So the idea is that they get to pick different superpowers. It could be really fast. It could be really strong. It could be really agile and fly and things like that. But originally I wanted to do 10 heads, 10 right arms, 10 left arms, 10 right legs, 10 left legs. And that's one of the things I really learned from Launch Adventures, that kind of variability could have really crushed me in the beginning. From a manufacturing perspective, but also just from a demand perspective, not being able to having no way of quantifying demand on the front end, I would have had a ton of unused
parts. Did this experience or this wisdom develop in the critiques in the business school, or did this come later as you?
No, this was definitely through the business school.
And can you remember who? And how they said you're stupid to go off on.
They didn't say it in so few words, but I had a lot of the professors and the coaches were really helpful. I mean, Randy Myers, the one that is bringing me back for this class, he was incredibly helpful. Arv Malhotra is, a lot of these professors really. I think that was one of the biggest advantages of trying this out in business school is you get all these people, really smart people.
So one of the things that somebody told you, told it, or maybe the group of them said, be careful about having too many options at your launch. Start out with something that's reasonable and that you can do well, and then later you can decide whether or not to expand the options. Did somebody just come out and say it that way?
In a way. So one thing they stress there is MVP, which is called Minimum Viable Product.
What in the world does that mean?
Yeah, so it's actually a really great concept where you test out your idea in the cheapest, easiest way possible. So for us, we used paper cutout dolls, essentially, of the superhero drawings that we had.
You use them to what?
To let kids create their superhero.
Okay.
Did the concept work? Did they understand the idea of a superhero could have a tank leg? Did that translate to them? Or did they create the stories we thought they would create?
So this was at your testing stage. This wasn't in the you hadn't launched the business yet.
That's right.
What do you call it?
Minimum viable
product. Viable product.
Yep.
And that would be true even before you launch your product, but in the arena in which you're testing your ideas.
Absolutely.
Make it simple and
exactly.
Not expensive.
Exactly. How can you essentially, instead of putting a lot of money into something, how can you test it out, see if it'll work before you put that money out there or that time or that that energy.
Can you think of other lessons that this is what you've talked about strictly on the product side of
sure.
it? When you described the business, did you learn that this put you in an arena or in a situation where people could say, if you're making toys or you're making this kind of thing, here's some special rules that you should.
Well, and you know, that is the one thing that I had to learn on my own afterwards is the industry-specific information, in the sense that the toy industry is very – it's a very different industry. A lot of the people around here are very much are not sort of physical product or not retail-oriented. And so that is something I really had to learn. But other things like marketing and finance and things like that, I really got to test out, you know, a marketing budget of X, what do you think that will give me? Or what do you think that will give me? And sort of bouncing those ideas off of people that have had to develop marketing budgets for similar startups and things like that.
Well,
allowed a much better budget, at least.
We're visiting with Josh Bryan. He's talking about his new business, Hero Me, in the context of what he learned about business at the Kenan Flagler Business School. When we come back, Josh, what I want you to, we're going to back away and take a break from talking about the mechanics, and I want you to be prepared to give your sort of elevator speech about Hero Me.
That's what I
And what the product is.
Great.
Josh Bryan and I will be right back. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. Josh Bryan and I are listening about his new business. It's called Hero Me, Create the Hero You Want to Be. And Josh, I want to get back to talking about the business aspects and what you learned at Kenan Flagler Business School that you think has made a critical difference in your business. But first, although we can't show the Hero Me, we can go to the webpage and see what it looks like.
Absolutely.
And what's the Hero Me webpage?
Absolutely. So it's called HeroMeLab.com, and that's where they can create the
So
HeroMeLab.
LAB.com.
Yep.
And you'll be able to see some of the things I'm going to hope Josh will talk to us about. So what is a Hero Me figure?
The idea of Hero Me is that we allow kids to create their own superhero action figure. Our mission, we say, is to inspire creativity and do good. And that is by allowing kids to create their own superhero is really sort of how we see us fulfilling that mission. When kids create something on their own, we found that they have a better attachment to it. But they also create a better story. And the idea is that the kid gives the hero, as I said, it picks from five heads, five arms.
How about
and five
how
legs.
Big is the hero?
The hero is 12 inches tall. It's a plastic.
So about the size of a doll.
Yeah, old G.I. Joe dolls, a little bit bigger than that.
A little bit bigger than that.
That's sort of the model we went off of. We made it a little bit more friendly, not as realistic maybe as a G.I. Joe. So it ends up being a little bit bigger in proportions.
More of a comic book kind of a superhero.
Yeah, a little bit, yes. Yes, sir. And so – but the idea is that the kids customize it to a certain extent. They pick the powers that they admire instead of being the powers that somebody else admires.
How do the – in the physical construction of the figure, how do you – implant powers.
Yes, absolutely. So the kids are able to pick the arms and legs. And so the arms might be a lightning arm or a strong arm or a lava arm.
Or a what?
Lava arm.
Oh, a volcanic arm.
Volcanic arm. The description for that is can melt any metal or roast the perfect marshmallow. And so the idea is that, I mean, we give basic powers out there. And the amazing thing is that kids take those powers or take those ideas or what the arms look like and create something all on their own. For instance, we have a helicopter arm, and we've heard descriptions for the helicopter arm is that it can help the kid fly. It can be a motor like a motorboat. It could be a shield that's when it spins really fast, it blocks anything. Or one kid used it to slice cheese. So it's really amazing to see what kids come up with, and that's what we're trying to create is essentially a blank tablet that the kid can create his own story.
Well, and what has been your feedback from the kids who are constructing their – you're constructing them according to their direction.
Right. So we hand assemble them at our warehouse and ship them out as soon as we can. And the kids – the feedback has been amazing. We've got a good number out there through our Kickstarter campaign and through Christmas sales and things like that. But – the feedback we've had has really been really encouraging. Kids are loving it because all of a sudden it's something that they've created. Instead of it being a superhero that we all know, it is something that they have built, they have designed, they have given a name, they've given a personality to.
They can argue that this is mine and it's not like really like any other.
Absolutely. So what we say is, there's 125 combinations if you look at the different parts that we can put together. But so far, we have not had a single Hero Me that has ever been the same.
No. Wait a minute. That's
– So what I mean by that is we know the name the kid gives it. We know the personality.
Oh, I see. Yeah, okay.
So we've never had anyone come up with the same name.
Same name. Well, now, how do you require your customers to give you a name and a story?
So when they go online to hearmelab.com, they pick the parts and then they give the Hear Me a name online. And so that's when we see it there. And then they have the chance to – the Hear Me also comes with a 56-page Hear Me handbook that actually guides the child through the process of telling the story of their Hear Me.
After they get it.
Uh-huh, and so, so what I'm referring to is just the feedback I've gotten from the parents I've talked to. We did for a while track that information, but really it's the feedback we've gotten from the kids and the parents. But that handbook allows them and the parents to walk them through the process of creating a story that is uniquely their own.
So you've delivered to them the superhero put together according to their directions.
Yes.
Then you send it to them and say, okay, use your hero to tell your story.
Absolutely. And
that's almost like an assignment to a kid.
Yes, I guess it could be seen as that, but I think the fun part is the kid. We don't have to tell the kid that because they'll do it on their own. That's the beauty of it, is that if you give a kid a superhero that they know the story to, then they are going to follow that story. You know, this superhero lives here. This superhero's sidekick is this. But if you give them a superhero that they don't know, that they are in charge of, their imaginations go everywhere, and they. It's really amazing to see because to them, he could drive a donut mobile instead of a Batmobile or whatever the case may be. It's completely up to the child. So really, it's not an assignment. It really seems it's something they're going to do anyways.
Your part of the product is the book, which could guide a kid into supplementing, recording and changing the story for his or her superhero.
Right.
So do they record it on the book itself like in the old days of writing it down?
Absolutely.
Or do they put it on the computer where they can change it and revise it?
Right now it is in a book. It is old school writing it in a book with a pen or pencil or crayon. And eventually we will have that online. But a lot of the thing – what we heard from a lot of parents is that they are trying to limit a child's screen time. So the time the child spends in front of a iPad or a tablet or a computer. So really, we were trying to bring that out of the computer.
Josh, I can't believe that you'd be able to individualize the books to fit the superhero. This is a standard.
The books are they are, themselves are not individualized until the kid himself or herself
develops the story.
Exactly.
Well, all sorts of great opportunities sort of put in front of us. And if you join us late, we're talking about Josh Bryan's new business, Hero Me, and the kind of doll-like or G.I. Joe type figure that is created at the child's direction. And then the child, you help the child figure out things to do with it.
Absolutely. And so one of the things we're trying to do with our website and our blog is encouraging kids to how to play with it. Can you make a zip line with it? So it zip lines across the room. Can it sit on a remote control car? Can a Harris Teeter bag be used as a parachute for the Hear Me? So trying to think of different ways and sort of creative ways of playing with the Hear Me, but really it's become a companion for the kids. They might take it to the grocery store with their mom. They might take it on vacation with their family, things like that.
What have you found to be the target ages for kids who would have the most interest in this kind of toy or this kind of figure?
We originally thought it would be 5 to 10, with 8 being sort of the age that really was receptive to it early on. What we found is really interesting, I think, is that 4 and 5-year-olds have really picked up on the idea. They are taking these Hear Me's and sort of seeing themselves in that hero, and that's really fun to see. So a young child might say, the Hear Me, if the child's name is Johnny, then the Hear Me's name is Johnny, and if the child's favorite food is macaroni and cheese, then the hero's favorite food is macaroni and cheese. And so the idea that they're sort of imparting themselves in the superhero, they're sort of creating themselves into the superhero. And as they get older, the stories and characteristics become much more complex. It's really fun to see the sort of development that's involved.
Well, one of the things that we see with many toys, and particularly these kinds of toys, some kids have an attachment to their toys that last really forever. Mm-hmm. Others move from one type of toy to another and leave – are able to leave their old favorites behind.
Right.
And how are you adapting to this sort of –
Absolutely. And this is one of the things we hear from parents a lot, is that they want a toy for their child that is not going to be thrown in the toy box and never seen again after they open it. And that's what we're trying to create in – allowing the kid to create the hero, it actually gives them a stronger attachment to that toy because it's something that they've made. They feel that they were the creator, and so they tend to, so far at least, play with it longer than their other toys. And that's one thing that I think we'll try to work on throughout the life of our company, in the sense that how can we create this toy so it is something that the child – when the child, you know, grows up and is 30 years old, they're like, wow, I really wish I still had that Hear Me, or wow, that Hear Me was, you know, in 50% of the family photos we ever took. And that's what we're trying to create. And we're trying to create something, a toy that the child will bond with, the child will have a connection with.
We're visiting with Josh Bryan. We're talking about his new business, one that really got started in Chapel Hill at the Kenyon Flagler Business School. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the business aspects of this new venture. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. My guest is Josh Bryan. Josh is, if you join us late, Josh is telling me about his new business, Hero Me. Create the hero you want to be.
That's right.
And we've talked a little bit about the actual product. And if you joined us late, it's about 12 inches tall. And think of G.I. Joe, one that a figure that you could take apart and make into your own special figure in a hero-type format.
Right.
I want to get back, Josh, if you will, to talking about the launch of the business. Mm-hmm. You talked about earlier about how you developed the idea, presented it to your sort of the new business ideas class at the Kenyon Flagler Business School, got some ideas about how to go, but ultimately you're out there on your own. Anything else that you learned in the class that you put to work once you got started on your own that you think is important?
I think one of the really valuable things by having coaches and mentors through this class that have been there and done that or have started businesses before is understanding that the process afterwards, once you actually are starting the business, is not going to be textbook. You're not going to be faced with a scenario and be able to look into a reference book and tell you that's the way.
You have to create your own business the way you create a hero me.
Exactly. It really, I think once we launched the business, it was a whole different story. I mean, for us, the hard part was finding a manufacturer. These toys are very high quality.
Josh, now you're talking about manufacturer, but you've got to have a design of a product before you can.
That's true.
Or maybe it goes together.
No, you're absolutely right, actually. And I appreciate you saying that because the manufacturing process took so long that I almost forgot about the design process. We used a firm in Charlotte that helped design things, and then also used 3D designers that helped essentially take my sort of pathetic drawings and bring them into a much sort of closer to real life.
So you were to review it again. Mm-hmm. You've got several different heads. How many? You got
five heads right
five
now.
Five different heads, and mm-hmm. and the heads would be it would just be five separate heads with different colors and everything.
Yep,
but you
exactly.
wouldn't have one head that you could order different colors. It's
right.
five
right now. Five heads, and the idea is that you have different hair color, different skin color, and eventually this is one
but
of the things.
Pretty much the same face, sort of the same looking face.
Every expression is different. What we try to design, and this is one of the hard parts of the design process, is I really wanted it to be a happy, positive-looking hero. A lot of things, if you look on the shelves of larger stores, things are becoming more sinister. There's zombie this or things.
So, I love this. So you had to wrestle with your own idea that you would like the world to be a cheerful place. It's not. So your market.
A little bit.
Some of your market would be folks who didn't want quite as big a smile.
Absolutely. I think that's definitely part of it. When I looked at these, it was getting more sinister. And the thing we found is that kids, especially on the younger side, are really drawn to it. They're drawn to the smile. They're drawn to the bright colors. And parents, too, have really been on board with it. Small independent toy stores have been really on board with it. And so there's definitely a market for it, and I'm very glad we sort of made that decision in the design process early on.
What other design challenges or opportunities did you have as you were putting together the design for this product before you went to your manufacturer?
That's right. We had a lot because the way they work is essentially we assemble them, and then the kid cannot pull them apart. So once they are assembled, they are that hero. So the idea.
Well, that's quite a design challenge in itself. That if it's easy to assemble, once you assemble it, exactly. To make it hard to pull apart without breaking the whole product.
Exactly.
So
the joints were a long process of trying to figure out how do we do that, and that was from a 3D sort of CAD model or 3D design phase, and that we had to tweak so much even when we got to the manufacturing phase because there are so many tolerances that are different from the three different types of plastic we had to use to make the joints work and make the pieces and the parts work. So that's one thing we started in the design process, but definitely had to refine in the manufacturing process.
No, that's quite interesting. And then you let's talk about arms for a minute.
Absolutely.
You decided that you give each of the figures a distinctive characteristic by having different qualities in their arm. They'd have special arms, right. Like a helicopter or
a hammer
or something.
Yep.
What did you come up with, and how did you come up with them?
That was a hard part even before the design process, was trying to figure out, you know, if you asked 10 different kids what superpower they wanted, they would give you 10 different answers. But what we found is they all boiled down to certain categories. Strength, speed, the ability to fly was always one. Sort of a durable, sort of like strong as a rock kind of thing. And agility is another one. So we sort of put those into our arms and legs. And each arm and leg is rated on a scale of strength, speed, agility, and defense. And defense is how hard is it to crack, I guess you'd say. And the idea is that a kid might pick a lightning arm, which is really fast, but he might pick a tank leg or a sledgehammer leg, which is really strong but not as fast. And so those powers average out. There's no perfect combination that's strong and fast. And part of that's for the story process for the child. And
so you can't have a perfect superhero.
Exactly.
You're like the rest of us. They may have superpowers, but they're not unlimited powers.
Exactly.
They've got to have trade-offs.
And also we wanted to make them general enough that the child could add to it. So could begin to describe more about that power than we did. Or make that power something else if they wanted to.
Well, so that becomes the product. And then I tell you what, let's take a quick break, and then I'm gonna ask you to go into the challenges of developing the manufacturing process.
Got it.
We're visiting with Josh Bryan. Josh is a recent graduate of Kenan Flagler Business School, where as an MBA, and where he learned or helped. He was helped to learn about how to create a business. He's telling us what he did. And I'll be right back. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. I'm visiting with Josh Bryan. Josh is here to tell us about his new business called Hero Me. This creates your own hero, your own special superhero. And this business idea got started right here in Chapel Hill at Kenan Flagler with the help of class that Josh has come back to Chapel Hill to talk about. Josh, I stopped you when you talked about one of your toughest difficulties once you got the idea, once you had a business plan, once you were into it, was trying to figure out somebody and how to get it made. And tell us what your problems were and how you overcame them.
Yeah, so finding a manufacturer was by far the hardest part so far. And it was also sort of the most surprisingly hard part we faced. And part of that reason is we were a very small company. We're a startup, and we only wanted enough to make 10,000 units. The factories that I talked to were a small order for them would be 100,000 units. So we were beyond their scope. They wouldn't take emails.
They wouldn't even talk to you?
Oh, not at all. Not at all. Mm-hmm. They would take maybe get a response, but really not a second response. And so there are a lot of ways to go about this. One is using a sourcing company that will go and find factories that have relationships with factories in China. And we tried that. We had a smaller sourcing company that we weren't able to find a factory that would do it. And then I tried it on my own. I looked here in the United States. I looked in Korea. I looked in Southeast Asia. I looked in Mexico. What I found was is that really very few people outside of China are actually doing toys, because there's a very detailed painting process involved. And all of that is done in China. One day, I think it would be amazing to be able to bring that here. But
so the thing that provides right now a restriction,
yes,
is that the Chinese have mastered a way to put color,
exactly,
on these figures in a way that the rest of us have not developed the expertise to do that economically.
Exactly. So things like Lego or Playmobil, those are actually manufactured in sort of their home countries because there's a flat surface that can be mechanically printed on with very little human involvement. But toys that have lots of different shapes and contours to them are usually manufactured in China because there is a very high hands-on.
Is it a labor-intensive process? Because every Hero Me is hand-painted? Is that
there is almost on every part of the Hero Me, there's some part that certainly has been spray-painted by hand, and some are actually with a paintbrush. And that's the story with any toy you would see today.
How'd you find them?
So I ended up – the funny thing is that I actually found a sourcing company that actually had a representative here in Chapel Hill.
Oh, come on.
Holub, and he works for a company called BAMCO, and they are based in L.A., but Ed was here in Chapel Hill. I didn't find him until I moved back to Jacksonville.
Who is this? This is
he works out of Chapel Hill, and so
were you going to tell us his name, or is that
sorry, Ed Holub. Ed has been wonderful. He really...
So he was your link to the right manufacturer for
exactly.
you, at least at the beginning.
Exactly. So we through him and BAMCO, the company that he works for, we were able to find different factories that would take us on. I was then able to visit the factories, or visit the most promising factory to check it out. That was really important to me because manufacturing is such a huge part of what I'm doing. I really wanted a hand on that in the sense that I didn't want to just hand it off to them and let them do it. So going over there to China and visit the factory is really important to me. And really, they've been there through that entire process, through doing quality control when I couldn't be there, or doing logistics and tariffs and the ports and getting.
So it gets to be a complicated challenge all the way through.
It's incredibly complicated.
I'd like to talk some more about that, but and you've asserted that this is maybe your toughest challenge so mm-hmm. far, but I would have thought that maybe where you are right now would be the toughest challenge. You've got the product. you have developed your Kickstarter mm-hmm. financing plan, which was successful, but now and people bought some of the
yes.
product over Christmas, but now— You know, I mean, the challenge that you're facing now in terms of developing a marketing plan that will
yes.
Enable you to convert the parts that you've ordered into money.
Absolutely.
And so, what have you done? What's worked and what hasn't worked?
Yeah.
And what do you kind of see for the future?
So, definitely, marketing is certainly a hard one. But I feel like that I feel like at least there are certain routes that are easy – or not easy to take, but are that are out there and we can take them. Whereas manufacturing, it was sort of – there are no routes to be had.
Let me just say – let me ask you, what's working?
Yeah, absolutely.
What's working for you? And then maybe you could tell us what didn't work.
Yeah. Oh, godly. So we tried a lot of different things. What we're finding – and this is no big revelation, but the times when we can sell to a person directly are the times that – they understand it and they buy into the idea.
You mean face-to-face?
Face-to-face or – so toy stores, when they have the opportunity to talk to a parent and a child about it. So that's – we know that that's by far the best way of doing it. But we also are sell online as well. So we have to – we're figuring out ways to
– Where are your online customers coming from?
All over the country.
Word of mouth or is it
– Word of mouth through our Kickstarter campaign. We did some digital ads that didn't work – that didn't – weren't as successful as we would like them to be. But the main thing really is PR and really getting the word out there. What we are finding though is that we have to be able to market to the kid and the parent. And that's a really difficult balance to make because – I don't want to be interrupting kids' play with marketing, but we are trying to target the parents instead and really sort of build that up. One thing we're doing are story
contests.
Well,
now you're a new startup company. Yeah. You can't develop a national advertising. No. What do you do on the way to that kind of thing?
So we knew that we couldn't do the big sort of Saturday morning ads or Cartoon Network ads and things like that. So we are trying to essentially – it's going to be a slower route of doing it, but essentially building up, doing sort of region by region, getting in small toy stores where kids and parents can actually see it, but also going to those areas and talking to people about it and developing campaigns with hopefully strategic partners. We know
where who would be the
– Absolutely. So right now we're in Jacksonville. In Jacksonville we're working with Ronald McDonald House. Things like that with the Wilson.
And how does it
there.
Work? How does that work?
So right now it's just – it's a way for us to give back but also a means for our customers to give back. We – for instance, last week a customer just donated 10 Hear-Me's to the oncology unit at Wilson's. And so a big part for us is how can we
– So excuse me, Josh, for pushing as we're getting towards the end. But so what you're finding is that you're having to develop small-scale, individualized – just partnerships with different – just to get the idea of your product out there.
Yes.
You can't afford to have big advertising, but you can afford to give away a few of your products in league with somebody who will reach out and tell more people.
Exactly. And that's what we're trying to do is figure out who those partners are and who those partnerships are. And so, as I said, it's a little bit slower going that way, but really – being a small startup, we don't have a choice of doing it any other way.
Well, did you have a business plan when you got into this?
We did.
How radical have the changes been to your business plan?
So I think most of the changes have come when sort of the rubber meets the road and in the marketing plan. I said that the manufacturing is definitely the hardest part, but it still followed the business plan in the sense that we knew we had to get it manufactured, but the marketing is what's had to change the most. For instance, we thought we'd be able to do Facebook ads and digital marketing ads, and I think those might work around Christmas time, but they're not going to work in the middle of the year when parents aren't in the mindset of buying a toy for their child necessarily. I think it would work for parents that are looking for something different for their child because this truly is different, but it doesn't work. It isn't worth our time and effort to go that route outside of Christmas. So.
One last question.
Yep.
How much does it cost?
So $40. So $40.
For the whole deal.
For the whole deal. And that includes a Hear Me, a customized superhero action figure, a 56-page Hear Me handbook, a reusable rocket ship box, and a customizable ID card for the hero.
Well, and because it's not every – it's not in Kmart and every place – or Walmart, I'm showing my age. every place – Can I go to your webpage, which you told us about earlier, HeroMeLab.com?
Yes.
And order one?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we've done a fairly good job of shipping them out very quickly. So
can I design it on the website? I can design my special Hero Me for either me or for
Absolutely. We also sell gift certificates. So if you wanted to buy it for a child or a grandchild or a nephew or a niece, you could actually purchase a gift package that will include the price of shipping and taxes. So when the child goes online, he doesn't have to pay a dime, doesn't have to get out the credit card.
So you give the this is not supposed to be a commercial, but you're giving you give them the gift not only of the toy, but of the responsibility and opportunity to design his or her own toy.
It's all in their hands.
Well, Josh Brian, lots more to talk about. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but thanks for coming back and talking about
Thank you for having me.
Hero Me, and then the website, HeroMeLab.com. Come back soon and
Thank you, DJ.
Sell us some more Hero Me superheroes. Thanks to Josh Brian for talking about his new business. And thanks to you for listening. This is DG Martin, who's talking. I'll be back here before you know it.